You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is High Level Wisdom for New Generation Leaders. We interview senior level baby boomers who share their stories, insights, and how-tos for the emerging leadership of millennials. Our mission is to celebrate their accomplishments and aid in preserving their business knowledge. I'm your host, Chris Williams.
Hey, welcome back. This is episode 33 of our podcast, High Level Wisdom for New Generation Leaders. Thank you so much for taking the time out to actually consume our content. We really appreciate it. And if you are enjoying this, feel free to send us an email. Send me an email, chris@highlevelwisdom.com, or make sure you leave a comment about the CEO you're hearing this week, Brett Freevert. Now, this is the CEO of CFO Systems. You heard the first part of his interview earlier this week. And if you're just now tuning in, thank you. And I would also encourage you to go back, listen to Tuesday's show. You will get an opportunity to hear Brett's background, how he built the company, what they're doing, but more importantly, his insights and his thoughts and his ideas. And we're going to continue that during today's show. So without further ado, what I want you to do, sit back, relax, make sure you got a pen, make sure you get somewhere where you can listen to this episode a couple of times, because Brett dives even further into his mentality, what he thinks millennials need in order to not only be able to take the jobs of the future, but also to be able to lead right now. Take a listen to the second portion of my interview with Brett, the CEO of CFO Systems LLC. Take a listen.
Absolutely. I believe that you're right. I do think that some of us kind of suffer from the way it always has been and cannot see. I think to your point, cannot see themselves in a position as a student anymore. And I don't even mean that just for, you know, small companies. I think sometimes some people think, oh, that only works in a small company. It doesn't work in large organizations. I think a lot of large organizations have even shown some stomach, if you will, to be able to be open to being, testing new ideas and hearing new things and taking, you know, and in some respects, it is a risk. But, you know, most of these large companies, I would always say, you know, you didn't get there by not taking risk. So to do that less makes, you know, doesn't make the best sense in the world. So I'm interested in that same vein. You know, there's a lot to learn on both sides. There's definitely a lot to gain from either side. What do you feel that a millennial right now today has to gain from creating a relationship in their career with baby boomers while they're continuing to grow as an emerging leader?
That's a great question. I think that the baby boomers can still and do still provide some of that wisdom of experience, if you will, some of that, here's what has worked well in the past. Here are some of the things that I see going on trend-wise. And you and I talked about this earlier too, Chris. I think one of the subconscious, if not even conscious for some of us, some of us baby boomers look at these millennials with a little bit of envy and say, gosh darn it, why didn't I have the courage 25 years ago, 30 years ago, say, no, I don't want to do it that way. No, I don't really want to come in for a 7 o'clock meeting. You know what, my kid's playing soccer at 4:30 and I'm going. You know, we didn't have the courage. I didn't have the courage. A lot of us didn't have the courage. It was, honey, I'm not going to be home until 8. I'll see you around 9. And you know what? There might be some envy pangs in there in us baby boomers. So what can we teach or impart? What can the millennials learn from us? Somewhat that voice of experience. There is still certainly value in the voice of experience if we present it properly, if we present it with an open mind, with the respect who they are, what they're asking. Feel very flattered, honored that we're at that point where somebody is coming and asking for our opinion, our insight, our advice. I sent a note to my daughter this morning, my 24-year-old daughter and her son, were shopping for and bid on a house. And this is classic millennial, she went and asked nearly everybody in the family, what do you guys think of this house? Here are the positives, negatives. She turned it into essentially a virtual online meeting of this project, if you will, put it into corporate terms. And she got some ideas, some insights, some very strong naysayers from certain seats in the conversation, some other conversations. She got feedback from, and so they went ahead and made the offer. So and then she started talking about the financing and second step of the project, if you will. And same type of thing. She got some good, some bad. And the cool thing is she then took all of that and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. And essentially then reported it out to the team, if you will. Here's what we're doing. And I look at that and I say, that's great. That's what we really want, isn't it? That's what we need, is that next generation to show their leadership in a different way than we would have, certainly different than a lot of the older baby boomer generation that operated in the command and control environment. Here she is, 24 years old, going to make a very large financial decision, a very large operational decision. She essentially draws it out on the board, ask for opinions, ask for advice, ask for what could go wrong, and steps up, makes the decision, and leads. I think that's what we want.
Absolutely. And I like the fact that you were able to appreciate that from a real life scenario, because that is showing you that there's leadership there, that there is the idea of getting buy-in, gaining input from others around you, being willing to not only lead the conversation, but then also knowing that there is a window of time that this kind of has to end and we've got to make a decision. And I think you're right. I think every leader would love to see that from those that they're looking to groom. And so on the opposite end of that spectrum, there is the baby boomer who is in some respects, I'm sure in a lot of companies, they're already looking at their next emerging leadership. I'm sure there are executive teams out there who are constantly surveying their employee base and looking at who they're going to continue to groom. What would you say that baby boomers have to gain from millennials? I know we kind of talked about the idea of efficiency, but what other tangible things do you think actually from that same vein of, having that relationship in a career as a baby boomer of, millennials around you? What do you think is the benefit in it and the thing that a baby boomer gains out of that type of relationship?
What does a baby boomer gain? probably a sense of maybe a bit of a sense of relief, a sense of some comfort, some confidence that, okay, I don't need to live the next 10 years like I did the last 30. I can delegate more. I can now get some time with my family, for my community, for whatever. Can't really make up for lost time hour for hour, but I can certainly go back and have some good family time, good community time. And my organization will not only do just fine, it hopefully probably will do better than if I continued doing the same thing the next 10 years that we did the last 5 years. And it probably, this is a little bit of a different sociological trend, but it probably will allow a lot of us to work longer, which will be an interesting demographic and sociological trend that, all right, if I hit the typical retirement or the federal retirement age, do I need to be retiring at 62 and 65 because my mind and body is worn out? Or can I be delegating, handing off, really allowing that next generation or the next two generations to really step in and lead, provide some good wisdom, but also really be that student. And you know what, I may be able to add value for another 10 years instead of 10 weeks. And I may have the energy to keep going until I'm 70 or 75 or whatever. And the cool thing for me is I see that around the Midwest already. There are a lot of 70 and 75 year old professionals, executives, still and still cruising along, and a lot of them would say these last 5 years are just some of the best they've ever had.
Wow. Yeah, and I think that, you know, in your position, when being the CFO, being the person who is not only seeing kind of the day-to-day health of the company financially, but you know, also providing some forecast and maybe even having some tough conversations with leadership at times that I'm sure sometimes the numbers don't reveal a pretty picture that you have to kind of go and present. How has that kind of impacted your approach when it comes to the relationship dynamics that you see? I mean, has there been times where you know that you're working with a client and there is a solution, but that solution may kind of ruffle some feathers of the leadership because it might be almost too simple. They're kind of, as you kind of talked about before, you know, they're used to a kind of a grinder kind of approach to certain situations. Have you been in those situations where there is a very simple approach and it might have been difficult to get across to that executive leadership? How did you deal with that?
Yeah, we run into that on a regular basis. I think the most, we probably run into a couple of different personality types and thinking styles. Some are still that command and control. You know what? Just tell me the answer. I'll implement a policy and force it down, and we'll go. Just tell me what the answer is, and I'll do it. Force the team to do it. And those are the ones that I think that we probably see a limited life on, because again, you just don't necessarily get the best idea. You obviously certainly don't get team buy-in. And then I think the other ones we see that we enjoy work a lot more and really will be more successful are those, all right, let's figure out what it is. And if the answer is easy, sometimes you still need to take people through an exploratory process, because what I see as a simple, easy answer may be 80% right. It may be, there may be another 10-20% that could be improved upon. So I also like that approach. I think that there's still a lot of value in that thinking exercise. And sometimes it seems to me that sometimes that is one of the real advantages of the younger generation, if you will, that they may sit back and think about it and say, okay, what are we trying to do here? And I don't know if they also have a good persistency. I watch my son on video games, and people complain a lot about kids on video games, but you watch the persistence that teaches of, okay, I need to go find X, whether it's a coin or whatever the heck his objective is. He knows what his objective is, and he tries going here and doesn't get anywhere. So you know what? He just backs out and heads in a different direction. How much different would corporate life, would our work world be, if all of us old dogs could pivot and back out that quickly and say, you know what, that didn't work. Let's try it a different way. Let's think about this. And the online collaboration that those guys go through. You know, when he was like 12, he said, Dad, I need a headset. That's what you mean, like a stereo headphones? He goes, no, I need a full-blown headset. And I said, for what? For what? He goes, because we're doing, we're doing all this online, and I'm working with guys, working with my friends from school, I'm working with the neighbor kids, I'm working with all these others, and you look at that and you think the collaboration skills that this generation has and how much more quickly they come to a good solution and how much more buy-in there is because it's a group solution. So I think that's one of the big things, too, is that so many of us that just command and control, look to the teacher, look to the professor, look to my boss. What's the right answer? Here's my idea. Here's my paper. Grade it. Tell me what the right answer is, and let's move on.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I never thought about that, but that is definitely true. Most folks and parents would frown upon the age of video games. But I think you're right. Looking at that collaborative effort that a lot of kids will put into those games, and that is something that can translate very well to the workplace. If you give the same type of
real life example, completely out of the business world, but in the medical world. I'm told and have seen that a lot of the medical schools really like the gamer kids because they've got the hand-eye coordination to be able to hold the game controller, which is now the robotic controller in their hand while they're looking at the screen, not looking at their hands at all, but looking at the screen and what is happening, which might be a patient on a different continent. And you take somebody like me that struggled to learn to type, to run the 10 key, to not look at what I'm doing, and you take the gamer generation, second nature to them. They can hold a controller in their hand, have a headset on with a microphone, look at a screen, and they can perform surgery on three different continents.
Wow. Now that definitely, I hadn't heard that one. Wow. That's pretty interesting. Wow. That's really, really interesting. So, as we're having this conversation, I'm kind of reminded of a couple of different things here that are important that I think your perspective is valuable on. I think the first thing is around, there's always this line of, misconceptions. There's these ideas that we have, right? To your point earlier in our conversation, you talked about, that stereotyping any group is kind of not the best thing in the world. Unfortunately, perception is reality in business, in life, and no matter what you're doing. What do you feel are some of those misconceptions that people have, or the younger generation may even have, of a baby boomer that you kind of feel like, this isn't really necessarily true. It probably is more of a of a stereotype, and we probably can do a better job of trying to dispel it. What would you say that thing is, especially because you sit in seats of influence and leadership, no matter who your client is. And so you've seen some of that throughout, you know, what you've built and how you've helped other clients and companies around the country. What would you say some of those misconceptions
are? Chris, you know, that's probably an entirely another conversation. What do I think the millennials think of me as a baby boomer? that's a really deep one, because I, off the top of my head, I would do a quick survey, mental survey of conversations, and I think the perceptions range from, you know, sort of an exasperated sigh and a roll of the eyes to, geez, here he goes again, telling me I need to work hard, and they get tired of hearing that. And I think a lot of us baby boomers, and again, this is a stereotype, so I'll be very careful. A lot of us baby boomers have that. You know, you're a millennial. God, I read about you in the paper every day. I'm sick of it. Just work hard like I did. And I think that there's a good number of the millennials that just see us as disrespectful, stubborn, rigid, stuck in the old ways. You know, this is the way we always did it. Why would we do it any other way? I think there's a lot of that, a lot of validity to that. And I think that there's probably also some frustration, disappointment that, geez, you've seen so much, you've done so much, you tell me how much you've seen and done. Why don't you teach me better? And that, I think, is probably one of our biggest failures, if you will, as a baby boomer generation. You know what? If we're as smart and experienced and hardworking as we say we are, why aren't we teaching them better, more effectively, more successfully? And that doesn't mean, let me show you how I did it. You do it the same way, and the next 40 years will be the same as the last 40 years, because we know that's not real. But why don't we teach them to learn? Why don't we teach them our life lessons? And I think I see some of that, a little bit of envy, a little bit of admiration, a little bit of disappointment, frustration again. Show me, tell me. Stop telling me what's wrong with me as a millennial and how good you are as a baby boomer. Tell me what the next 30 years might look like. I mentioned my grandmother earlier. One of the key phrases from my grandmother, she made it to 93, and so she would spend time with my daughters, and she'd say, you know, you look at everything I've seen in these last 80 years, everything from going to indoor plumbing, to electricity, to telephones, to cell phones, microwaves. Think of what these kids are going to see. We can't even imagine what they're going to see. And so you take that into the work world and say, all right, the things that we have seen and the adaptations that we have made, and again, you look at somebody like me that in 1989, 1990, when voicemail came along, and it was just startling. Then when fax machines came, and it was just mind-boggling, and we learned how to use it and how to adapt. And then when the PCs spread across the corporate world, and everybody was experimenting and learning how, and then obviously these last 5 years and the mind-boggling technological leaps forward, we have learned a lot and we have adapted a lot. I think that there's probably a lot of us that don't give ourselves credit for what we have seen and learned, and the ability that we have to relay some of that flexibility, to remember and respect and relay some of that flexibility and that learning capability that we really did have over these last 30 years, and present that to the millennials with the open-mindedness and the wisdom of grandma that you guys are going to see changes that I can't even imagine, you can't even imagine. And the key is you really need to be nimble, you need to be on your feet, you need to be see it coming, figure out how to make it, one, figure out if it's useful or not, and how to make it useful for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you bring up a good point that baby boomers should pat themselves on the back. Because not only have baby boomers been able to create a lot of the change, there's been a lot of adaptability as well, as with any generation. I think it's a unique time now because, you know, technology was not in the palm of your hand, as most parents know that their children have had it literally since they've been babies. So they have no other frame of reference. They don't know about the 60-foot, you know, cord in the house with the telephone and being able to walk all around the house with it because we thought that was the coolest piece of technology on the planet. That's not a thing. You know, a phone that does not move is a relic at this point. And so, you know, I do think there's some validity to that. There's more adaptability that has happened. And you know, part of one of the reasons why I started this podcast and part of one of my own personal kind of missions with this, not just being able to transfer some of that institutional knowledge and helping millennials prepare better to take on leadership positions, but more so importantly, is to celebrate folks like yourself and others. To the fact that, yes, you have adapted to a lot and you've done a lot as well. And I don't think we should just kind of push that to the side. We should really look at that to say that there's value in that and that there's a lot of learning. One of the things that as you were talking, I'm kind of reminded of is that, you know, many people have their definitions of wisdom and I think it's great. And, you know, there's a lot of different things. I think what I have come to learn in my life as I've sat down and I've listened to many CEOs and many people who sit in seats of influence is that wisdom, the one thing wisdom does for me as someone who is always looking to learn is that wisdom provides me context of the reality. And so I love it because I feel like as many people could find newer and cooler ways to do things and be more efficient, I think it can, the efficiency tool, whatever it is much more appreciated when you have the context. And the only way you get context is by listening to someone tell you and share with you and you learning from them as much as they may be learning from you. And so with that in mind, you know, there's the emerging leader who's sitting out there right now who is, you know, working up in their company, large company, small company, maybe even looking to do what you've done one day and step out and do their own thing. But they're working right now and they're in a potential opportunity to be a leader, but they still have a lot of things that they've got to learn. But they're continually working hard. They're doing what they can. Brett, what would you say to that person who they know they want to be in leadership in a company? Maybe they don't want to be an entrepreneur, but they know they want to be in leadership. What would you say to that person as far as advice and something that you think would be good for them to be able to not only keep in mind, but to take as a go forward from our conversation today about your perspective?
That's a good one, Chris. You know, I think a couple things come to mind. First is a little bit the trite observation that you're not a leader if nobody's following. So, you know, being in a position and having no followers would de facto mean you're really not a leader. I think the other thing that when you're asking the question, I hear you say new leaders have a lot to learn. I think that especially coming from me as a technical person, an accountant, learning how to do accounting and complex accounting and some of the very technical aspects of my trade provided a lot of value. But to truly become a leader, I needed to learn how to learn. And I'll go back to that theme on a regular basis, that I think that's the thing that the baby boomers were able to do that we didn't, that we don't fully appreciate or recognize or respect. And that might be what I would advise or mentor the budding leader, the emerging leader, that you really need to learn how to learn. You need to make sure that you're learning, and it may be something soft like leadership, and maybe something very technical like coding or accounting or law or welding. But the real value to you and your organizations and your family is going to be how well do you know how to learn? Because 5 years from now, your life will be much different. 15 years from now, your life, your family's life will be much different. And the key skill really is learning how to learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think even to take that a step further, I think once you've learned it, learning how to apply it so that it becomes actionable. I enjoy the idea of lifelong learning. I think it shows when we're not, because we can kind of be stubborn on a particular way. When one thing that I think technology has afforded us all is to really know that things will change and you do have a choice whether to adapt or, you know, or to stay the way you are. But there's going to be a consequence on both sides. and so you kind of have to be able to choose how you ebb and flow in that. And so Brett, just to wrap up our conversation here, you know, if there was a book that you would say, you know, would be great for somebody in their budding career, that you know is, and it doesn't have to be just one, but if there was just one particular book that you would say, you know, you'd recommend our listeners would actually read, what book would that be?
I'm probably going to go with two. One, I was actually, can I list three, Chris?
Sure, absolutely.
Probably three.
Absolutely.
One of the very early leadership books I read was The One-Minute Manager. And Blanchard put together in a very cute, folksy, novel-esque fashion, some really deep leadership mentoring concepts. And if everybody read The One-Minute Manager five times during school and five times a year for the rest of their career, it would be really powerful. The other one then that is Seven Habits, you know, and the whole Covey concept of putting first things first and recognizing what the first thing is and being able to put things into the Eisenhower quadrant of what is important and urgent and recognizing the need to step back and sharpen the saw in his terminology. I think the Seven Habits is also a book that I've read probably every other year for the last 30 years. And I just picked up one, and I need to get the title and the author memorized, but it's by the founder of Samuel Adams. And I tell you, you talk about a guy with a vision, a guy that stepped out of one of the large consulting groups, making a lot of money, fast track to the top, great corporate career, and had a vision to create something completely new and different that just absolutely stood the nationwide, worldwide brewing industry on its head. There's a guy that founded Sam Adams, and he writes also just good lessons and lessons in flexibility, lessons in perseverance, which aren't diametrically opposed. Perseverance and flexibility can go hand in hand. And it's just a phenomenal book with ideas, themes that he that he developed, that they implement, mistakes they've made on people they hurt, avenues they went down. So it's you know, if anybody wants to read it, if they Google the founder of Samuel Adams, the Boston Brewing Company, and his current book, it's just fantastic. So I would recommend each of those three.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we will definitely make sure that we have all of these books that you recommended in our show notes from this interview today. And Brett, I just want to thank you. I know our audience appreciates your time, your insights, your stories, and your wisdom, more importantly, because I think, you know, our mission is always going to be very, very simple, to be able to extract that knowledge, but then also give you a platform to be able to share your insights, because our audience is always going to be not only just hungry, but find things that are advantageous, because we also have leaders and influential folks who are also listening to this. And so, you know, we're appreciative of your time, and thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. And, you know, you have a great day, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode and even this week listening to Brett's insights and ideas and thoughts. If you're a millennial, this stuff is gold. I am so thankful to be in a position where I can bring you great content. If you're another CEO, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, HR directors. Thank you for those who reach out to me on a consistent basis and tell us how we're doing, what they're enjoying, what they like. And so as our audience, we'd love to be able to hear from you as well. Feel free to find us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at High Level Wisdom as our handle, or you can simply just go to our website, highlevelwisdom.com. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Now, next week, I just want to give you a little advice. You might want to strap in for next week's show, because next week I'm interviewing none other than Todd Cochran. Now, some of you might not know him, but I promise you by the end of that interview next week, you will be so glad that we were, and I'm very thankful that he gave time, broke away from time during his travels to be able to sit down an interview with me so that I could share my interview with you. This gentleman is great. I'll tell you more about who he is next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. I look forward to being able to see you next week. Take care. Hey, you know what's happening every day. Somebody is raising their hand to retire as a baby boomer, and they have a lot of institutional knowledge. You're not sure how to protect it. More importantly, how do you even pass it off to the next emerging leadership in your company? Well, I have a solution for you. It is the High Level Wisdom Workshop, the one-day workshop where we help your executive leadership and millennial emerging leaders come together for one day in a high-intensive, high-impact, fun, and energetic way to learn about how to close the knowledge gap and protect your institutional knowledge. For more information, send me an email, chris@highlevelwisdom.com, or go to our website, highlevelwisdom.com, for more information.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.